The problem is that most people, they don't know about the concept and they don't know how to use it consistently. Because for most people, this is a consistent thing. It's going to be in a certain period of the day when you have most energy and you're fresh in your head.
I sent 2 units. They're bringing her down now.
No, Lieutenant, your men are already dead.
The future is approaching faster than ever.
Technological change is speeding up, and your already maladapted evolutionary mismatches are multiplying.
In the future, the current version of you is already dead. The way around that is to keep learning, keep evolving, mentally, psychologically, physically, and financially. Hi, and welcome to Future Skills, the podcast devoted to making you future-proof. Your hosts are me, Ludvig Sundström, and Mikael Syding. In this episode, what we'll talk about is biological prime time. And this is a super important concept. It's probably the most important productivity tip if you're not already using it.
Just as you have good days and bad days, you also have good hours and bad hours within a day. That's what biological prime time is all about. It's about finding those high productive hours that you can utilize for making your absolute best work.
Yeah, exactly. And the problem is that most people don't know. First of all, they probably don't know the concept of biological prime time. They're like, oh, I'm in a good mood. But they don't know about the concept and they don't know how to use it consistently. Because for most people, this is a consistent thing. It's going to be in a certain period of the day when you have most energy and you're fresh in your head. And for most people, it's going to be in the morning.
I definitely had no idea about this concept before meeting you. I just thought you just power on throughout the day. If the day is full and you have a lot of things you need to get done, you just do it 14, 16 hours, 18 hours straight, whatever it was. But I had no idea about this concept.
I guess it worked out pretty good for you anyway. But maybe even better if you'd known it.
Yeah. And I think that on the one hand, if you identify your biological prime time and you make sure your most creative work is put in within those hours, that's one very important thing of using this for. The other one is that utilizing your biological prime time during your bad days is even more important because you'll probably get absolutely nothing done unless you utilize the small peak that you actually get on your bad days during your BPT.
Right, right. Yeah, I definitely think that's true for me. If I have one of those bad days and I don't have a lot of energy, then I just try to do one thing during maybe 2 to 4 hours, and then that's basically it. Then I've at least done something. But I know that even if I try, I'm probably not going to get much more done than that because my attention is just going to wander.
All right, so how do you know when your BPT is?
I don't know. It's something you have to learn, but for most people it's going to be about 1 hour after waking up in the morning and then about 4 hours going forward, so before lunch. That's the most normal. It's also different. Some days you might have more than 4 hours, other days it might be less, but 4 hours is about the average.
And that's more or less how it is for me now. But when you and I first discussed BPT, I thought it was in the nighttime. And that's just because I remembered that I used to be alone in a very quiet room and programming, coding when I was a teenager. And that was when I really hit productivity peaks. But I must have changed, or the reason I was my most productive at those hours when I was younger is simply because that was the only time I could be alone and it was completely quiet.
I see. That's pretty interesting. I think you know the whole idea of being a night owl or someone who's an early bird, those two concepts in popular culture, you know, those two expressions, those they kind of signify when your biological prime time is.
Yeah, and even if most people seem to be morning people, and actually quite a few people who claim to be night owls really aren't, there at least are these two types. So just feel free to experiment and find out when your best hours are.
Yeah, the important thing is just to pay attention to this and think about it and try to find the pattern. And it shouldn't be too hard. And keep in mind that it's roughly 4 hours. So I guess the really important thing to remember is that you have roughly 4 hours every day where you should do uninterrupted work. And as long as you do that, then you've done the best that you can every day.
And make sure to start with your most important and value-creating stuff, where you need your creativity and your focus and your ability to do really deep and meaningful work.
Oh yeah, right. It's like you don't want to do errands during your biological prime time. You should do stuff that scales or work on your number one priority, like you said.
Yeah, it's always tempting to start tweeting clever tweets or to, I don't know, play video games or answer emails. That's always tempting, but you definitely do not want to squander your 3-4 best hours during the day for those kinds of tasks, which you can do almost while you're sleeping.
Yeah, exactly. And the point is, if you start doing it, then you'll want to continue because the barrier of entry is so low and then it's so fast rewarding. Whereas working on important stuff usually requires that you work up the concentration. So there's like a bit of resistance in the beginning that you have to push through.
So, for example, if you're doing research for a book or an essay and things like that, that is exactly what you should use your BPT for.
Yeah, you and me, we both write. Everyone who's listening to this probably doesn't consistently write, but if you've ever written a really difficult essay or a book or something like that, then you know how difficult that stuff is to do unless you're really focused, like in the morning or when you're drinking coffee or something. It's very hard to do it in the afternoon. It's like nothing qualitative gets done.
No, exactly. You often have to be focused and concentrated for maybe hours or at least many minutes in a stretch. And during that time, you maybe are forced to keep several concepts at the top of your head at the same time.
Right.
And then formulate it and get it down on paper. And if you are interrupted, everything disappears. And interruption could be something from the outside, but it can also be just your own brain interrupting you, unless it's during your BPT.
Don't ever interrupt me while I'm conducting business, you little chicken ass.
So let's assume that someone has found their BPT, then how can they make better use of it? Well, the way that I do it and what I would recommend anyone listening is that you keep a schedule or a daily to-do list based on your biological prime time. And it's very simple. At least the way that I do it. And what I do is every night or in the morning, what I do is I have these small notes that I've been using for years now. And I have one in my pocket now. And it's a small note, so you can't write too much on it. Right? So you have a constraint by that simple fact. And then the first thing you write number one on is the task that you're going to do immediately in the morning when your brain is warmed up and you're in your biological prime time. That's the number one thing to do each day. And that's what I put on top. And then after that, I might put other stuff or errands. But as long as I do that and I plan it, then it's more likely that I will do it because then I prime myself to do it.
There are several things here that fit neatly into place. One is that during preparation, when you write your to-do list the day before, that calms the mind, it clears your mind and makes it easier to fall asleep, knowing that you are in control and you're prepared for the next day.
Yeah, it's very hard for me to sleep unless I know what to do the next day.
And once the next day arrives, as soon as you get up, you know exactly what to do. You know exactly what your priority number one is. You don't have to start browsing through lists and making choices, making decisions and wasting time or energy on that. You just start right away on the priority one, fully knowing that further down your to-do list are the things that you just need to tick off later on in the day, but they are not in any way urgent.
Yeah. How do you do this? Do you also do something similar or?
Yeah, I have something in that direction. I know many people say that you should not have your to-do list in your commonplace, but my commonplace is a little bit differently structured. So for example, I have three master documents all collected in one overview notebook. And one of these is a long to-do note in which I have categorized various projects I'm doing. And one is priority one. And I constantly come back to this note and update it, but for very long stretches of time, the priority one is always the same thing. Right now, it's writing on my book. So I know, I really don't need to open that document, but anyway, priority number one is writing on my book. So anytime I have a good day or I have my BPT freed up, I start writing my book. And then further down the list, I have priority two and priority three, and also a list of what I'm doing now. Those things, they aren't urgent in any way, but they could become urgent because those are things that pretty soon should be finished. So what I do is I use this document for creating my to-do lists. Since this is a like slow-moving, low-intensity to-do list,
right.
And I pick things from it to create the urgent daily to-do lists.
So it's like a list of the ongoing projects or whatever, and then you choose from that.
Yes, and I also use this note to plan my life in a big picture. Well, I'm not sure if you've run into this, but sometimes you just say yes to a lot of projects and suddenly you realize that there are more projects than time. And I use this note for actually recording and planning how many hours a week I have to allocate to different projects and just make sure that it all fits within a 168-hour schedule for a week, including sleep.
Mm. So like a brief recap, your the way that you do this, the structure is you have three things. You have your life planning document with the projects. Then you have your like daily or weekly to-do note thing. And then you have your... I don't think you mentioned it now, but you have also a disaster box.
Yes, it doesn't really fit into the other two categories, but it's there if something, a force majeure happens, something that just throws everything up on end, and I need to react quickly. It could be like losing my wallet or something like that, or if the house burns down, then I'll go to my disaster box and just make sure I have all the phone numbers I need, all the insurance documents, everything that I need to just get back up on my feet again.
Yeah, I hate it when my house burns down. No, I'm just kidding. That's a really good idea, actually.
Anyway, my structure, it guarantees that I can quickly continue on a project that's appropriate for my current state of mind.
So if we do like a really brief recap of the big idea here, it is that there's a certain period each day, your biological prime time, about 4 hours, where you can do highly productive stuff. And you should not waste that or squander that time on Facebook or whatever. You should work on the most important project. And if you can do that, then you've probably gotten the most important thing done that day. And then the rest is less important.
Yes, so make sure that you identify your BPT. And then two, that you actually utilize it.
Yeah, start paying attention to roughly the 4 hours each day when you have the most mental clarity.
And, as always, remember to take a walk.
Yeah, it's a good habit.
Yeah, taking a walk is very good for transitioning, for example, between two projects, between two priorities, between one activity and another. And not least, it's not good to sit down for too long. Actually, an hour is way too long.
Yeah, I think this is a really difficult habit to practice becoming better at least for me, because I've really tried to improve at this for the last maybe 1.5 years, and it's only now that I feel that I'm becoming pretty good at it.
A good cue could actually be, since our episodes are pretty short, they are around 10 minutes, is to listen to future skills while taking a walk. So make it your at least weekly habit to listen to our episodes while taking a short walk.
Yeah, and if you don't like to read in the morning, you can go for a brisk walk for maybe 20 minutes and listen to 2 or 3 episodes. And then you will have some ideas by the time that you start working on the most important thing.
And since the brain was created in order to handle motion and things that move around, it's actually easier to digest information while walking around. So if you haven't tried it before, start listening to smart podcasts while walking.
All right, that's it for today. Thanks for listening and see you soon.
Thank you.